This is a very familiar position for me to be in, introducing our brother Brian. I introduce him many times during the year. And I know that he has prepared a message for each one of us tonight, and I would ask that each one would be attentive to those words that he has for us. I now ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother, Apostle Brian McIndoe.
Good evening. Not only has Dwayne introduced me many times during a year, he also has to cover for me once in a while when I get sick and I can't preach. And I think something's coming on, Dwayne. I'm going to do something a little different than I have ever done here in America. Usually in America, I have a sermon and I preach that sermon. In Africa, I'll have a sermon ready to go, and I'll get there, and they'll introduce me. I'll stand up and preach something else all the time. It's very, very common for me, but it's not common here. And I did have a sermon that I was going to use today, and I'm going to preach something different. I have a page in my Book of Mormon that speaks about a particular subject, and I have a lot of notes around it, and I've been adding little notes to it every time I see it, I find it very interesting. However, I've never preached on it, and today I just felt like that's what I should preach on. So I went home and took about 10 minutes just to outline it in a piece of paper, because I've been looking at it for so long, it didn't take very long. But I hope it makes sense. I hope it means something to somebody. It goes along with the song we just sang. First line of the song we just sang, it says, "Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you." And I think about that. You know, if you're going to sing that song and you're going to believe that song, you actually have to have a little bit different concept about God and his relationship to you than a whole lot of the world does today. Because a whole lot of the world today really thinks that man is in control. Even the Christians, they don't really think God is there personally to take care of us, to see our needs, to care for our needs, to minister to our needs. They think that we as people will have to fill that void in the world by being humanitarians, that in a nutshell, that God's work is done. And there was a writer from many, many years ago. He addressed this. He addressed it thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago. And I'm going to turn to Moroni, chapter 7. And I'm going to begin in verse 26. It says, "And assuredly as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our Father, saying, Whatsoever thing ye shall ask in the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you." Receive good things of the Father. As sure as Jesus Christ came into this world, if you ask things that are good, things that are good for the plan of God and the work at hand and according to God's purpose and plan, and you have faith believing, it shall be done unto you. He didn't say, "I think, I hope, maybe." He said, "As sure as Jesus Christ liveth." Now, not everybody's going to believe that, but not everybody's going to believe Jesus Christ actually liveth. Even some of the Christian community today thinks that Jesus lived, but he died. He was placed in a tomb, and he never really did resurrect from the dead. And they call themselves Christians. But we as a body of people, we believe that Jesus Christ liveth. And because he liveth and because he was able to resurrect from the dead, then we too will see that resurrection. We too can have part in such a resurrection. And he tells us that the things that we need, the things that we need him to take care of in this life, if they're good, if they're right, if they're according to the purpose of God, and it can work towards good, he will grant them unto us. Now I'm going to read verses 27 through 29. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased because that Christ has ascended into heaven and has sat down at the right hand of God to claim of the Father his right of mercy which he has upon the children of men? For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those that have faith in him, and they have faith in him, will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore he advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And because that he hath done this, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased. You know, I just have to marvel, because I think about the way people think today, the Christian community thinks today. I think if we probably lived back in the day that the church began in the 1800s, we would probably be confused by this. It would be like he's making a statement that everybody believed. But here he's making a statement saying, you know, just because Christ has already come, just because Christ has already fulfilled the law, just because Christ has already done the work that he was sent here to do and has returned to heaven, doesn't mean that God does not still work today. And that is the belief of so many, that God has ceased his work. He has ceased his labors. He ceased to work amongst men, that we're really lifting up our voices in vain when we try to talk to God and ask for a blessing, ask for something in our life. Expect him to move out and to move upon his church and do marvelous things. They don't believe it can happen. You start talking religion to somebody, you know, and I get it all the time. You know, you sit down next to somebody on an airplane and they'll want to talk to you, and if they find out you're a missionary, they'll want to talk religion. And if the second you start talking about, you know, revelation and prophecy and stuff like that, that's not today. That doesn't happen today. God didn't send you there to this place you're going. God didn't restore your church in this last day. God doesn't call ministry today. People pick it themselves. It's a job. It's a vocation that you choose. They don't believe this because God has already done his work through Jesus Christ. But he says, he had done this just because he has done the work and he's accomplished his work. Does that mean miracles have ceased? I'm going to go back. We're going to come back to this, but I'm going to go back to verse 21 and 22. He speaks a little more about that. It says, for behold, God, knowing all things, being from everlasting to everlasting, behold, he sent angels to minister unto the children of men, to make manifest concerning the coming of Christ. And in Christ there should come every good thing. And God has declared unto the prophets by his own mouth that Christ should come. They believe that. That God spoke to prophets in the earlier years. They prophesied that Jesus Christ would come. And Jesus Christ did come. And Jesus Christ did his work. But now they think that God cannot take care of us. Can't take care of us. How can you be not but dismayed if God can't take care of you today? If God can't take care of us, we don't live in a great time. We don't live in a time that the prophets look forward to. We live in a terrible time. We live in a time where God has no influence upon us. I would think that if you had that kind of attitude, you would lose all your hope. You'd lose your hope. But this writer here, Moroni, he's talking about faith. And he asks, you know, he says, you know, is all done? Is all finished? He sent the prophets. I'm going to turn to one more reference in Mosiah chapter 1, verse 93 through 95. For behold, I have things to tell you concerning that which is to come. And the things which I shall tell you are made known unto me by an angel from God. And he said unto me, Awake. And I awoke, and behold, he stood before me. And he said unto me, Awake, and hear the words which I shall tell thee. For behold, I come to declare unto you the glad tidings of great joy. We see where God sent an angel to prophesy, to tell the people about the coming of Jesus Christ. Did a great miracle, did a great work. However, here we are, you know, 2,000 years later. Can we expect those kind of things today? Can we expect an angel to stand in our midst and tell us about the things that are going to come? We know about Jesus Christ, but there is a second coming of Jesus Christ. We know that he's going to come with his armies. We know that there's going to be tribulation. We know there's going to be problems. We know there's going to be a gathering of Israel. We know that we have to go to all the world and preach this gospel. And we can read and we can study in the Bible and see where the ministry went out and began to go to different places in the world. And then occasionally, an angel would stand before those ministers and say, Don't go here, I need you to go there. Can we expect that? Can we count on those things in our life? Let's continue. I'm going to read verse 29 again in Moroni chapter 7. And because he has done all this, meaning he has already come, he's already taken his place and done his job, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither hath angel ceased to minister unto the children of men. Miracles have not ceased, and they're done often by the working of angels. And they have not ceased to be among the children of men. They have not ceased to work with us and to work with the church and to be there for us and to help us. But how? How do angels work, and who do they work for? I guess this is the point that caught my mind, that if I want an angel to help me in the things that I need to do, to guide me in the missionary field, to direct my path, to stand there and reveal things to me and tell me what to do and what not to do, I need to know how they work, and I need to know who they work for. So let's read verse 31. For behold, they are subject unto him to minister according to the words of his command. And they're speaking of God, they're speaking of Jesus Christ, showing themselves unto them of strong faith. That's the first thing. They are going to show themselves to those of strong faith. If we want to see these miracles, if we want to see the workings of angels in our life and in our midst and amongst our congregations and the things that we do, we first must have strong faith. You know, we live in a day of doubt. Amongst most people in this world, they doubt these things. They doubt the power of God. They doubt the workings of angels. And we live in a day of deception. Satan uses deception as a tool to derail us from the truth of the gospel. I'm going to turn to 2 Nephi. We're going to come back here and finish that verse, but first let's go to 2 Nephi chapter 6. Here, the writer is going to speak about something that Duane read from us in Genesis this morning. 2 Nephi 6, verse 21 through 25. And our spirits must become like unto him, and become devils, angels to the devil, to be shut out from the presence of our God and remain with the father of lies in misery like unto himself. Yea, to that being who beguiled our first parents, who transformed himself nigh unto an angel of light, and stirreth up the children of men unto secret combinations of murder and all manner of secret works of darkness. Oh, how great the goodness of our God, who prepareth a way for our escape from the grasp of the awful monster. Yea, the monster death and hell, which I call the death of the body and the death of the spirit. You know, Satan, he is going to use deception. He's going to appear as an angel of light, and then he's going to tell us to do things. And we read here, you know, it seems, well, if he looks like an angel of light, we're looking for angels, then why wouldn't he deceive us? And the reason he won't deceive us is because it says he stirreth up our hearts to do works of darkness, murders, evil, bad things. It's very simple. Just like we were told, try every spirit. If an angel stands before you and he tells you to do something and it is contrary to the word of God, which has been written and put in our hands, it's deception. We live in a day where I hear people all the time. They say, God has revealed this to me. And next week, he revealed something completely different. The week after that, he's revealed something completely different. You better stop and think. You're being deceived. God isn't going to change three or four times. But he can work, and he can tell us the truth. But we must have strong faith. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. If we have faith in God and we put our trust in him, we can use it as a shield. And when Satan comes and casts his darts of doubt at us and untruths, it can protect us. It can block them. It can catch those things. And he will not be able to penetrate us. And so we must have this strong faith. Faith in the things that God has already revealed unto us. I'm going to turn also to Alma chapter 17. Read verses 75 and 76. Nevertheless, because those miracles were worked by small means, it did show unto them marvelous works. They were slothful and forgot to exercise their faith and diligence. And then those marvelous works ceased, and they did not progress in their journeys. Here we're talking about, he's talking about the Liahona. God gave these people, when they were going to make a journey, a special tool that would work a miracle in their life. And it was simple to use. And it says, because it was simple, and we as people don't want to accept something simple, it says, they disregarded it. They stopped looking at it. They lost their faith in it. And then they lost their way. God has told us, have a strong faith. One of the simple tools to guide us in our ways in this day. Very simple. A Bible and a Book of Mormon. You have faith in it, or are you going to challenge every word of it? Are you going to doubt the words that are written there? You know, it's just the very Book of Mormon. It says in 3 Nephi chapter 12, verse 1 through 5, it said, it is going to be a trial of your faith. A trial. Because if you don't read it, and you don't understand it, and you don't pray about it, and truly believe it, somebody someday is going to come, and they're going to challenge you about it, and you're going to feel foolish. I'm speaking from experience. I have been there. I have been there. And when you have read it and you understand it, you believe it, and you know what it says, those people that come to challenge you, that try to make you look foolish, you will find that they know nothing about it. They know nothing. Because you have a strong faith. You know truth. And if you hold to that truth and say, where are you coming from? Where did you get your information? You obviously haven't read this book. But it's going to be a trial of our faith because we're going to be condemned by it. We're going to be persecuted by it. We're going to be put down. We might even find ourselves from time to time being destroyed because of our belief. But it says we want these miracles. We have to have a strong faith. And this is a trial of our faith. And we must believe these things and hold fast to them. One last reference, Alma chapter 16. 144 through 146. And now, behold, I say unto you, that I would that ye should remember God is merciful unto all who believeth on his name. Wherefore it desireth in the first place that ye should believe, yea, even on his word. And now he imparteth his word by angels unto men, yea, not only men, but women also. Now this is not all. Little children do have words given unto them many times, which does confound the wise and the learned. Here again, we see the working of angels, the working of angels that reveal to us these truths, these words that God has for us, that we can have this strong faith. We need to exercise our faith. We need to put it in practice. We need to hone it and make sure it is strong, because when it is strong, that is one of the conditions. That is one of the people that he will work with. And then it goes on. Let's go back to verse 31. It says, in verse 31, according to his words of his commandments, showing themselves unto the strong of strong faith and a firm mind in every form of godliness. A firm mind. It goes along with our strong faith. But he tells us we must have a firm mind with this faith. You can have a strong faith today, but are you going to have it tomorrow? You know, the only obvious scripture that came to me right away was in James. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive of anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We as a people, if we want the workings of miracles, we want the workings of angels, not we have to be strong in our faith and have consistency in it. Not be a double-minded, not be one way today and another way tomorrow. We need to have a firm mind. That is the type that the angels will come and minister unto. I'm going to go back to Moroni. Let's continue our reading, verse 32. It says, and the office of their ministry. I had to stop for a second and think about that. The office of their ministry. I believe from verse 30 that the subject is angels, and I believe that we're talking about when it says there, we're talking about angels. The office of the ministry, the office of ministries, of the angels' ministry, this is what their duty is. This is what they are going to do in the world for us today, is to call men unto repentance and to fulfill and to do the work of the covenants of the Father, which he hath made unto the children of men, to prepare the way among the children of men, by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. Angels have been sent into this world to call men out of the world to repent. Really, you know, they have this duty to prepare the way for men to receive the truth of the gospel. I know that from experience, when we look back at the things that the church has done, that we have gone places, we've put a lot of labor, we've put a lot of effort into it, and had no results. And other times, the Lord has prepared the hearts of some people, and we've gone there, and they took it in. They were excited. They received it. And I believe this is the working of these angels. They did the work of the covenant of God. The covenants of God. What are those covenants? That angels prepare people to be ready to receive. We can read that in verse 34 through 36. It says, after this manner bringeth to pass the Father the covenants which he has made among the children of men. And Christ has said, if ye will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatever things is expedient me. And he saith, and he has said, repent all ye the ends of the earth, and come unto me and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, and ye shall be saved. It's a simple plan of salvation. He's preparing the hearts of people to believe in Jesus Christ. Not any other God. Many places we go, there are many other gods out there to compete. But to believe in Jesus Christ, to repent, is a hard thing to do. To go in and tell somebody, you want to come to the Lord, you have to change your life. And there's not a single person out there that is not part of the gospel, that wants to come in, that doesn't need to repent. They need to change their life. And in some cases, it is a drastic change. A drastic change of life. Because the environment in which they live allows some things that are so contrary to the gospel. But we have to be firm and steadfast in the word. We can't allow and permit these things to continue on. We are called to bring them to repentance. That is the covenants of the Lord. That is what the angels go and prepare them to do, to be willing to repent and to come to Christ and be baptized in his name and have faith on Jesus Christ. And it says that they will prepare people to receive these covenants. And it says, by declaring the words of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord. I thought about that also. And I believe that when he says that the angels prepare and give his words unto the chosen vessels, I believe he's talking about what we read in Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 11 through 13. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He gave ministry. He gave ministry to this world. You look in the Old Testament, he says he calls pastors to his purpose, to his own will, to his choosing. And here is the same thing. He has called some apostles and some prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And the reason is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And they are to do this, it says, until they all come to a unity of the faith and to a knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is the working of angels. He prepares his ministry. He prepares the way for his ministry. We could not do what we're doing as a church today if these angels and these miracles were not taking place even amongst us today. We must believe these things and trust in these things and know that God has prepared us each and he has declared his word and he teaches us with his spirit the truth of these things and brings things to our minds and gives us understanding. And it says that we are supposed to use that to bring everybody to a unity of belief. It's a hard job. It's a hard job in a world when other people are trying to tell people that everything is subjective and you can believe whatever you want and it can change from day to day. Obviously, they don't use this scripture in their teachings, because here it says a unity of faith, a unity of belief, and a unity with Jesus Christ. And it's going to take angels, and it's going to take miracles for us to accomplish this work in this last day, to accomplish such things in a day like we live. Let's continue reading in Moroni chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 37 through 40. And now, my beloved brethren, if this be the case, that these things are true, which I have spoken unto you, and God will show unto you with power and great glory at the last day that they are true. And if they are true, hath the day of miracles ceased? Or hath angels ceased to appear unto the children of men? Or hath he withheld the power of the Holy Ghost from them? Or will he, so long as time shall last, on the earth shall stand, or there shall be one man upon the face thereof to be saved? I really like this verse Because it says, you know, it comes right down to the last day. He says, with power and great glory at the last day, that these things are true. It hasn't stopped. We live in this last day, and we can count on, and we can depend upon, and we can look forward to the workings of angels and the workings of miracles and the power of the Holy Ghost to guide us and to direct us and to bless us and help us to do this great work of the last day. We just must have a firm faith. We must have a firm mind. We must be prepared and believe that God can take care of us. He hasn't forsaken us. He hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't left us. He can take care of us in our ministry. He can take care of us in our troubles. He can take care of us in our sicknesses and in our trials. He's there for us. I know that we, in this day, and I hear it many times, you know, people are just amazed at the amount of sickness and illness and troubles that we are having within the Church of Christ. I have to wonder if maybe God is allowing such things to show the world that we are still firm in our faith. Just like he did in the time of Job. He says, consider my servant Job. I don't care what you do to him, he will not leave me. And we are a small group that declare the truth of the gospel, and through all trouble and all trial and all suffering and sickness and illness, we still hold firm to the truth of God. We still keep our faith. We still keep our hope. What a testimony to the world. What a testimony. You can't shake our faith. We believe in truth. We believe that angels are there. They can comfort us. They can keep us strong. And we know that God has all things in control. Let's read verse 41 through 44. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for it is by faith that miracles are wrought, and it is by faith that angels appear and minister unto men. Wherefore, if these things shall have ceased, woe be unto the children of men, for before it is because of unbelief, and all this is vain, for no man can be saved according to the words of Christ, save they shall have faith in his name. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, then faith has ceased also. And awful is the state of man, for they are as they had, there had been no redemption made. If miracles cease amongst us, if the working of angels cease amongst us, if the Holy Spirit does not work and move upon us and guide us and direct us and help us with our problems and comfort us in our time of need, it's because we have lost our faith. We've lost it. Miracles will be there. Miracles are there. The angels are there. God's power is there. His Holy Ghost is there. He is here for us. We do not need to be dismayed, because it's only by the lack of faith that miracles cease amongst us. The lack of faith. And just the opposite, it is because of faith. It is because of our belief that they come, that we can receive them, that we can be partakers of them. I'm going to read in Matthew, in closing, Matthew chapter 9, verse 28 through 30. This is talking about Jesus, and it says, and when he came into the house of a blind man, came to him, and Jesus said unto him, believe ye that I'm able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. The first thing that Jesus asked them, do you have faith? Do you believe that I can accomplish this? And they said, yes, we believe. And he said, according to your faith, it is done. It is done. I don't think that it's a lack of faith that we don't receive a healing for everything that comes our way. But I think through those things, if we keep our faith and we remain strong and we hold fast and we have a sound mind and we look for the great hope of the great work that Christ had done for us, He will hold us through. He will comfort us. He will strengthen us. He will continue to use us and bless us, even in our sufferings, even in our trials, even in the times that we're weak and unable to do things, where others will quit, we will carry on. But we have to have this strong faith. And if we have such strong faith and a firm mind, we live in this last day where we can expect God to care for us, to care for all of our needs, to see us, to be a part of us, to minister unto us through His Holy Ghost. That is my prayer for each one of us. I thank you for your time.